you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, our tree is starting to fill up. There's still lots and lots of room for the blessings that we have. Hear these words. This is written by Ann Weems. Ann Weems is a Presbyterian pastor. She's probably in her 90s now. But she speaks to me when she wrote this. This is to you. This morning, I was toasted by a 2-year-old who raised her orange juice glass to mine and said, "To you." She brought the morning. She moved a mountain. She brought flowers out of a barren land and sunlight from darkness. What a way to start the day, affirmed and celebrated. Remember to celebrate those across the breakfast table. When did you last tell them they are precious? You told them to take out the trash, to make their beds, but did you tell them that they were cherished? You told them that they were wrong. You told them to hurry up. But did you tell them that they were beautiful? We celebrate events or days or heroes, but take for granted the joys of the familiar. So here's to you, familiar faces at my breakfast table. Here's to smiles and sleepy kisses and theological questions at dawn. I don't know about you, but that did happen at our house. Here's to unbrushed teeth and unmade beds and unpicked up clothes. Those things kind of still happen at times in our house. Here's to last night's scores and news before I could read it. Here's to my cup of cold coffee, to the lunch forgotten. Here's to the little girl who wants ice cream with her eggs, and here's to the daddy who thinks that's funny. Here's to the man who loves us so much and lets us know. I cherish you who breakfast with me. You are sun in my rain, sustenance and star. But, O Lord, free us to thank God for each other. Free us to clink orange juice glasses clear across your kingdom. In every family and in the larger family of the gathered church, here's to you, saints who remember to love. Here's to you, heal and teach and listen and comfort, who feed the hungry and clothe the naked and give a cup of cold water, who weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice, and stand by to pick us up and brush us off. Here's to the peacemakers and the prophets, their justice, their mercy, their humility, their strength that does not falter. Here's to those who have been freed to free us, to their song that never ends, to the saints who keep on dancing. Here's to you. You see, today, that's what the text said to me. When I heard these words, what must we do to perform the works of God in the world in which we live? You see, because Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Because Jesus is the bread of life, and because we are followers of Jesus, the bread of life, the food, the manna that has been given to us, what must we do? Well, really, literally, we must do nothing. God loves us no matter what. But then I thought, oh, yes, there are some things I must do because I am a follower of Jesus. Because I am a follower of Jesus, what must I do to show that love of God in this world in which we live? Well, one way that I can do that is I can stand up for injustice. And so there's a simple way that I've decided that I'm going to stand up for injustice. And you can decide if you want to do that or not. There's some safety pins in the back if you'd like to do that. I'm going to wear a safety pin. Now, that safety pin is to show me that I can stand up and have the strength to say to someone who is bullying someone else, that's not right. God loves all of us. You see, sometimes I walk into stores and I hear words and I see people that are doing bullying and degrading people that don't look just like me. And in the past, I've walked out. That's not me following God in my life. So I'm going to wear a safety pin to show that I have the strength, that I'm going to stand up when I see injustice, that I'm going to stand up when I see someone being bullied. I'm not going to walk away anymore. That's what it means to me to have the bread of life, to be filled with the manna, the love that God fills me with. Now, I ask a couple people to share what they think about what these words mean, about what must we do to perform the works of God in the world in which we live, because Jesus is the bread of life.
Yeah. Okay. When I think about the works of God, I think about the example of Jesus, who took his disciples to crazy places that they did not want to go. He took them in foreign lands. He took them to places in homes that they did not feel that they were welcome into. And he was talking about the hospitality of God, the extravagant welcome of God, and he lived that out. So I think the words are the actions of Jesus. So I think about when he talks to them about that heaven rejoices when we welcome a stranger or we give a cup of cold water to somebody. When we embrace someone that we might be afraid of, and the way I live that out is I try to figure out how in the world would I be a disciple with Jesus at that time, but also in this time. I work every day with people who are afraid. I work with people who are confused and feel that they have no resources, that they don't know who to turn to. And so what I do is I reach out and say, please trust me that I can walk with you, I can work with you, that we can help you find a place where you aren't scared. I think it's also standing up for the person who feels that everyone is against them. So it's a concern of mine that every day that I see, how can I look at the world through the eyes of Jesus? How can I embrace someone that I might not really want to be near or like or care about? But then I also see that they too are a child of God.
Thank you. So what must we do to perform the works of God in the world in which we live? Because Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. What works can we perform? What can we do?
So I think that for me, everything comes back to love. And love is being, you know, the love of Jesus that is all-encompassing, all-forgiving, perfect love, really, which is impossible maybe for us. But it's the work and the continual journey to try to be that example, to live that two wrongs don't make a right, to try to live that we should treat others the way we would wish to be treated, to be good examples for our kids when they're little and our kids when they're grown, to hold ourselves and others accountable for being about love, even when times are difficult, and even when emotions are high, and even when you're angry, to help learn to communicate to those that frustrate us that we can do so in a caring way and with kindness. That, for me, is what I think Jesus as the bread of life, and to be about the works of that bread. We have the gift of grace, which helps me every single day when I have to start back over again, and when I mess up, which is every day, to try to do it better, because I have a tremendous example, an example of pure love.
So what must we do to perform the works of God in the world in which we live? Because Jesus is the bread of life. And we are to live that as followers of Jesus.
Hey, everyone. I'll stand. Cool. So this week when I was reflecting on this question that Mindy asked me, it reminded me something that I was reading this week about in the Bible, where the man asked Jesus, you know, what must we do? What is the greatest commandment? And the author said, Jesus replied with the three commandments of love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I had to stop real quick and read back over, because in my mind that was always two commandments. I had to make sure I remembered how to count. But the author explained, no, really, within that there are three commandments, the first being love God, and then love your neighbor as yourself. So before that, then, to be able to love your neighbor, you have to love yourself. And I thought that that was a good point and something I hadn't really thought about before, that in order to truly show God's love in this world to other people, and when we struggle to do that in our own lives, part of that comes from maybe needing to reconnect with the God, the love that God has for us, and honing in on that love of self, and not in a conceited way or in a place from self-righteousness, but in a place from humility and grace, and knowing that Jesus is the bread of life, knowing that, you know, he is our daily bread, that it's not something that we can store up, you know, on our own accord. But just honing in on that self-love connection piece, and being able to then, when our cup kind of overflows, being able to show other people that same level of humility and grace that God extends to us through his son, Jesus. So,
thank you. Thank you to all of you who shared your words. But I want each of you to think about it. What must you do? Because Jesus is the bread of life. What must you do to perform the love that Jesus holds us with? Jesus is the bread of life. What must you do to share that love with others? To stand up. To know that God loves us no matter what. And the blessings that we have, continue to add them to our tree. There's lots of space to add the blessings, the thankfulness that God fills us with. So what must you do? What must you do for you, for God, because Jesus is the bread of life, to fill you with love and grace, and the world in which we live, to clink orange juice glasses across the oceans, across the table, across the city, across our lives. Amen.